Arm's Length Reporting, for investors who want the whole story. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, welcome into KER Politics. We're going to talk about a major, major event that has occurred here within Russia. Vladimir Putin has decided that he is no longer going to align Russia with the West. He is now going to align Russia with other countries, specifically China, specific Middle Eastern countries, etc., etc. Jimmy, what's going on? That's kind of scary.
Yeah, so today I think we ought to talk very much about this kind of move and this rally that Vladimir Putin put together yesterday and the potential impact for that. And of course, what's happening with the CDC, as well as with reducing death numbers and talking about Hunter Biden's laptop. But in this first segment, I think it's really important to discuss what's happening on the international stage and inside domestic Russia.
Yeah.
So Vladimir Putin had a rally, and interestingly enough, it was a massive rally in their stadium in Moscow in order to get supporters to highlight what he's doing. And it reminds me of video of Adolf Hitler in the, lead up to World War II, rallying his people and basically saying that, hey, the soldiers are trying to denazify Ukraine and that Russia will denazify the rest of the world through fascist tactics. So yeah, there's some very incongruent actions that are taking place while Sergei Lavrov, the foreign minister for the Russian Federation, has outlined, as directly said, that they will no longer align with the West. They will align with partners, that they have to be independent. Those partners have to have their same basic philosophies. Well, it looks like that, that's China with Xi, that it is, yep, South Africa, which their kind of disastrous government down there has said is basically supporting their position that it was NATO's fault that they invaded, that the Russians invaded directly into Ukraine because NATO.
Jimmy, I want to interrupt you.
And Iran and some of these other more problematic countries.
I want to interrupt you just for 2 seconds. Give me your opinion on NATO.
So, yeah, NATO was working very closely with Ukraine, and they're working out with other former Soviet republics, the Baltics. Members joined NATO from the former East Bloc because they were afraid of Russian expansion and influence. They lived through it under the Soviet Iron Curtain.
Yep.
So they took actions in order to pretend to unify with NATO as a common military organization that actually brings cooperative security. And a lot of people are afraid of it and they're worried about it, but it's not the military aspect of it. That integrates people, it integrates logistics, it integrates systems and technologies in order to have cooperative collective security, mm-hmm, which actually reduces the burden on most of those countries, but then guarantees you have a strong ability to defend against aggressors. And NATO has expanded, and they worked in Afghanistan, and there were some some training efforts in Iraq and some other areas that people are upset about from the past. But ultimately, it's been fairly effective at building positive relationships. The political aspects of Western expansion, that's a different story than the military one. That's my view.
Okay, let's talk about the political aspect first. We're going to deal with this just a little bit more than we normally would. Let's talk about the military aspect of this first.
Yeah, so with cooperation, certainly the Ukrainians have worked. They actually had special operations forces and forces in Iraq and Afghanistan for the last 20 years. So what that means is that they've learned how to use Western techniques, tactics, logistics, support, sustainment, operations, training, and most important, leadership skills. Mm-hmm. Those leadership skills are very important to success on the battlefield. Probably the most of all aspects, leadership, and then followed by logistics. The Russians don't have those experiences. And in fact, they've had some failed operations in the past. That 10 years in Afghanistan was pretty outrageous. When they invaded Ossetia in 2008 in Georgia. They were unable to sustain their operations because of lack of logistics sustainment capabilities, but they'd repositioned things in Crimea in 2014, and they were able to do that because they were had, you know, it was basically operating from the inside out. It was quite simple to do that. So militarily, that's one aspect of it. From the NATO perspective, right now, NATO depends on the United States for its logistics backbone and its combat power. 70% of NATO is basically U.S. funded and supported. And
right.
You know, that's a lot of frustrations with the Trump administration and others that that some of these Western European NATO countries were not paying their fair share. And that's a valid complaint. And now they're completely changing because they see the actual fear of Russia and pushing their agendas and using very sophisticated manipulation and propaganda techniques in order to justify their operations, but also how destabilizing it is to the entire global system. And of course, those people that love, you know, open borders and free flow of capital and labor, that want to not be regulated by any government, basically New World Order folks, this is a big slap in their face. But at the same time, it's not really, you know, Vladimir Putin is not being successful, from my perspective, in saving the world from globalism. He's actually creating a tremendous problem that will probably destroy the previous economic system. At the same time, it's really, you know, an authoritarian that's imposing his will on other independent populations and states that really wanted to move away from that type of authoritarianism, in spite of their internal corruption problems, the corruption problems that exist all through the world. NATO itself, its military capabilities, I think, are incredibly important to stabilize the region and stabilize Europe, and eventually, I believe, expand even with a different government into Russia because of the fear of the demographics and the military capacity of the Chinese Central Committee and the Communist Party, and how far they've influenced outcomes out here will be a risk to Russia in the future if they continue down this road, unless they align completely with them. And then we're in a very different global situation.
We are in a very difficult and different global situation. There's no question about that. Jimmy, I got one thing I want to ask you that I think is a critical question. Do you think that the Chinese with Xi Jinping and the Russians with Vladimir Putin have decided that because of the weakness, the ineffectiveness of the United States' executive office, that now is a good time to make their move? I kind of have a feeling that's the case.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely, they looked at this as an opportune moment, and without doing it at this point, they were looking at potentially another administration in 2024,
right,
and of course a new Congress. They wouldn't have been able to take action. But basically, the failures in Afghanistan by the administration set the stage for the possibility for this to happen. And you've got to be real careful what's going to happen in Taiwan and other areas. We have incompetent leadership right now.
Well, if I were to make a guess here, we're down to about a minute here. If I were to make a guess, I would say that the Chinese under Xi Jinping, who's an incredibly intelligent man, and the Russians under Vladimir Putin are not going to stop at all. They're going to continue in Ukraine, and I would guess that they are going to do exactly what they said they were going to do in terms of, for lack of better terms, the United States, etc. I think they're going to make a big move. I think they're going to make it probably right now. Let me just finish. I was mistaken in my last prediction. Jimmy, you got 25 seconds to agree or disagree with me. I don't think the United
Russians.
Yeah.
The Russians signaled for a long time that they were going to go into Ukraine. The Chinese
right.
have been signaling for a long time that they want to take back Taiwan.
Right.
This is a very precarious time, and my belief is that they need to do it very quickly before there's a change in U.S. Leadership.
I agree. Ladies and gentlemen, stick around. I'm going to be right back.